Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show. This is Cindy DeFerdinand. We're on every Tuesday at noon. And we do not have Bruce with us here today. Unfortunately, he had a training which he could not break free from, so we'll miss Bruce today. But I am so excited to say we have a fabulous, and I mean fabulous, guest, Victoria Burson. She is the senior pastor of MCC Baltimore, and she is a leadership and empowerment coach, and so, so much more. So I want to introduce Victoria. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you. So excited about this. Thank you for the opportunity.
We're so happy to have you. And, you know, I got to say, I know you have an unbelievably busy schedule, and so I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show with us today. I know that you've been traveling quite a bit, and it's tough to fit things in, and I really appreciate you taking the time because I'm really excited to have you here today. So I guess a good place to start is tell us a little bit. Yeah, just tell me a little bit about your background. I don't mean all the way to childbirth or anything, but just, you know, like a little bit of your background in terms of what led you in your journey and to where you're at today and led you to the field of coaching to utilize your unique set of skills. And I know that you have a lot to offer to your clients. So tell me a little bit about what led you here.
What led me here? Let's talk about what led me to Baltimore. I never thought I'd be back on the East Coast. Oh, my goodness, all this snow. But what led me back to the East Coast from Texas? I've been in the South for a little over 40 years. I was born in Elizabeth, New Jersey, raised in upstate New York. But then I am a PK, daughter of a preacher, or pastor. And so we found ourselves in the South, and I just love the South. And next thing you know, my journey shifts, and we know that change is inevitable, and you have to see change as an opportunity and never a threat. So
I love that.
I just embrace that change. And at the age of 50 years old, believe it or not, God says, okay, we're moving you to the East Coast, Baltimore, Maryland. And I tell you, it took me a minute to get used to Baltimore just culturally. But I love it. Matter of fact, my partner and I, we have decided to stay here in this region. And so what led me here was my skills and my gifts as a pastor. That's the ultimate reason I'm here. But I've been coaching, Cindy. I believe I told you this when we were having conversation. I've been coaching all my life. I love developing people.
I know. I remember you saying that. I totally remember that. Yeah.
Yes, I love, whether it feels good or indifferent, I love pushing people to their fullest capacity of living life and living it on purpose. And so ministering, pastoring, singing, I'm also a singer, and all of these things, being an image coach, being a cosmetologist, you know, having clients in your chair, still having that. I've always had an opportunity throughout my whole journey in life of developing people. And I never saw it as coaching until not too long ago. And so I have been coaching people, if you will, all my life, all my journey. Pastoral counseling, I'm still coaching people. As a matter of fact, I've changed pastoral counseling to pastoral coaching about 4 years ago. Through a mentor who guided me in that direction, because a lot of times people look for me to be their therapist, so I want to stay in my lane. And
exactly.
So
I love how, yeah, it's important,
yes,
right?
You have to have
the boundaries around your lane. I love that you said that.
Mm-hmm. Even as a pastor, there are still boundaries around what I do as a spiritual coach and develop people spiritually than versus people believing that I had been called to be their therapist. And after two sessions, I realized if they still need more, then they need a therapist. I didn't know what I could do for them.
Right, right.
And so
then you can leave
I've been
that
doing this
refer.
Work for a while. Absolutely.
That's nice. So yeah, I loved how you threw in there the image coaching, and I know you had mentioned to me you started your early career as a cosmetologist, which is fabulous to have that one-on-one connection with people. But I also, and you sing, and you're a pastor, and you've done a lot of coaching, spiritual coaching, counseling. But you also do speaking, correct?
Absolutely. I do. I've done some public speaking. I've done some leadership development in community colleges and four-year institutions. I've done some coaching on some level to student leaders and leaders. Even in my church, I allow community people or people from the community, civic leaders or anybody who believe, and I believe that everyone was called to be a leader. Just some of us lead from the top, some of us lead from the middle, and some of us lead from the bottom. But we all have been called because leadership is about influence. And I think we all have the ability to influence somebody in our life. And so I have done some leadership development. It's called Leader to Leader. And then I've done some train to trainer. And so I just believe it all still to fit under that umbrella of coaching. And then I had the opportunity to actually get recertified from under. Matter of fact, Cindy, my coach, who I am speaking to now as a coach, and found that I've been doing this all my life. But now I get to do it from a whole new, exciting level.
So, yeah, and it's really interesting. Like, you have such a colorful, incredible, and I know you, passion for people and for helping people and a heart to help. And you're pretty contagious. And just doing that drill of everything that you have done professionally is so impressive, your ability. And I know, like, you're really big on the lead with purpose, live with purpose, lead with passion. I mean, you're so passionate. I think you just bring everything to coaching that anybody would look for. And it's interesting when you kept saying, you know, like, I've always been coaching, and there are lots of people who just have a natural inclination to have a heart to serve, to want to, like, as you mentioned, develop people. And you're definitely one of those people, but you also, I think it has to be combined with, it might be fun for us to chat a little bit about this. You got to take that skill, that innate ability, and then the training and the skill, but then you have to be somebody who goes out and implements and makes it happen. Tell me a little bit about that in your life, you know, that sort of having the grit and the guts and the gusto, but actually going out and doing something with it.
Yes, you know, I do have the guts. You do have to take risk. You just have to take risk in life. And when I say take risk, I don't just mean taking a risk and taking the quantitative leap or quantum leap into the what's next. I'm talking about taking risk into our right now. And a lot of times we are so focused on our what's next, what's happening next. Even as I'm reinventing myself, I'm focusing on my right now because my right now is connected to my what's next.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
Even in doing that, I have taken risk always in my right now. And what I mean by that is talking to people. I have no problem going into a building, knowing no one, meeting strangers and knowing everybody's name or what they do a good portion of them by the time I leave that party, by the time I leave that lunches, because I love talking to people. I get my energy off of the other.
It fills you up.
Yes. I was born with this gift. It's a gift. It's not just a skill for me. It is also a gift that I was born with, and I follow the light. Nobody had to tell me to come back to the light. Come back to the light, Caroline. I have been in that light, and I believe that all my life, all my 54 years, I have always had opportunity to embrace the other, embrace otherness, embrace other cultures, embrace different kinds of people, embrace my own kind of people culturally, ethnicity-wise, and I just had the ability to do that. And so I think it came easy for me. I just had to embrace it and take that quantum leap into doing it. Spirit of boldness and just do it. And so that's what it really has helped me in my journey, be able to coach people. I mean, even as a little kid, I was coaching people. I was always made the president. I was always made the leader, if you will, quote unquote, the leader of some kind of group, even from the age of 12. Talk about taking a leap. I remember a choir director leaving a choir, and the choir just went ballistic because we were a traveling choir, well-known choir. And I said, Daddy, I'll do it, Daddy. And my father just looked at me like, yeah, right. And I said, just give me an opportunity. And so I had a choir rehearsal. I just, at 12 years old, with my little two fingers, just going along with the choir. And I just, in my body movement, being a teenager, probably thinking I was doing, they probably thought I was probably the original Sister Act. Whoopi Goldberg didn't have nothing on me.
But at 12, I love that. I love
it. Right. Can you think of, at 12 years old, being on stage in front of all these people directing a voice, 30, 40, 50 voice choir at 12?
Wow, that's amazing.
And so even that, I've been in the music industry directing choirs and, you know, just always pushing people, coaching them in singing, coaching them, you can do this. Coaching people that you can do this. Telling people, I've been telling people for a long time that they can live, laugh, and love.
Live, laugh, and love. I love it.
Absolutely. You can live. You can do anything you want to do. You don't have to follow someone else's dream. God has made each one of us unique, and we're all authentic. God made no copycats. And I love teaching people how to live into their authenticity.
And that's such a key. You know, this whole field of coaching, it's a new concept for some people that it's okay to show up authentically just who you are and do just what you want and what you're called to do. It's okay. You don't have to do what everybody else thinks you should do. You know, it's okay to do what you love to do. You know what I mean? Like, how long, right, does it take for people to give themselves permission to just do what they really want to do? You know, because there's a lot of, I should, I have to, I need to, I'm obligated to, you know, all of that stuff that rattles in people's heads. And some of it's legitimate, you know, practical responsibility, right? But some of it is just the talk that holds us back from really going, you know, like I do a lot of different things professionally, right? It, just as you said, you know, there's, you're called to do a lot of different things. You have experience doing a lot of different things. You have skill sets in different areas. But even so, if somebody were to ask you or me or anybody else, and we do that in coaching, what is it you really, really want to do? What is it that you love doing that when you stop doing it, you want to do it again? It's just like there's nothing like a drag about it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right. And what I get from that, what I've gained, you know, I was one of those people like shoulda, coulda, woulda, what if, and et cetera, et cetera. And I found myself doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I was getting the same results because I was doing what I loved. And I was literally coaching people without even realizing that's what I was doing or there was a such thing. You know, people throw around consulting, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I love coaching because coaching, people who are serious about wanting to be coached will listen, will have an ear and a heart to go to the next level in their life.
Oh,
and
I
that
agree.
Is a start for me.
Yep.
And there's the other thing that this whole coaching thing that has sparred, I think, my love for working with people and helping people move to their next level and not mine, where I think they should be. I love what I love about coaching versus even pastoring. Pastoring is a lot of spiritual movement and giving people advice spiritually. You know, of course, it's letting people know that God loves them no matter what and they can do anything and everyone was born with a gift. And but what has helped me between this whole, if I juxtapose coaching versus spiritual development or anything else I've done, consulting, anything, leadership development, all of it still comes back to one point for me. I do a lot of things. You do a lot of things. You just say that. We have skills. We have gifts. But I learned to answer more than one call. What I think gets people off the beating path is that they only answer. So when I was called into ministry, I gave up singing. Why? And once I realized that God has gifted me seasonally to do all the things that God has given me and has stretched me out to do. Everything God keeps telling me, everything I need is on my person. And I think we're so scared to embrace what's on our person, what's in our inner being, what's in our inner self. And sometimes we answer one call rather than putting an S and making it plural and answering all the calls.
Because I love
if
that.
If you answer everything that God has called you to, you won't feel stuck.
You know what? You got to write that down. You got to write that down.
If anybody's got it already down.
No, everybody's got to write that down. No, because that is a big point of distinction that some people may have missed in their life. And maybe we'll be hearing it for the first time, Victoria, here on the show, is learn to answer many calls. That what you did in your life was you just didn't answer one and keep doing one, which is, you know, for some people, maybe the perfect call, the only call, the one calling, if you will. There are people that have that, but there are many who are pulled in different directions, and learning to answer, open the doors, maybe is another way to say it, open the door. One of my mottos in life, because we all have mottos, I hope we all have mottos, is don't walk away from an opportunity before investigating it. So as I developed professionally, that was one of my things, you know, because what if, and I, you know, I had a coaching session earlier this morning, and one of them, and there was some, we had a conversation around, you know, try it. You're doing it. You don't know if you're going to like it, but if you don't try it, you won't know. And maybe you'll find out, don't really want to do this professionally. Oh, no, I absolutely love this. But if you didn't try it, you wouldn't have that answer, right? So,
absolutely.
So that's
a philosophy.
There
are so many things tied to us. Your philosophy is right on point. There are so many things tied for us. If a lot of times we are looking for a specific thing to happen. But when we are reaching out to the divine or however people's faith movement moves them, when we are looking for those answers, we're looking for them in a bubble rather than into a galaxy. And if you go into a galaxy, there are so many opportunities. There's so many ways of gaining experience to get you to your what's next. That's what I'm saying. We miss out on the what's now. I may not want to do this anymore. I may not want to be an attorney, someone is saying, anymore. I may want to go bake cupcakes. But what is it about being an attorney? There are some skills there you need even going to get into your own business.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that a lot of entrepreneurs do not have the ability to have or have access to that you may gain. So that's why I'm saying answer all the calls. And even the ones that are a mishap, the divine, the earth, still has to respond even to that in a positive way. And so I think if we just respond to those things not focus on the circumstance, because when we focus on the circumstance, then most of us as human beings, we look at the negativity of the circumstance, we focus on that negativity, and we don't get to the next quantum leap because we cannot hear when we're so distracted by the what if, should have, could have, and what if.
Yeah. And
so
also the negativity would be the workload. You know, sometimes people stop before they start because they get caught up in the details of it, the circumstances, like you said, of it. And then the negativity starts in because they start thinking about all the things they have to do instead of just do today. Like, you know, just do what you got to do today. And if you keep pressing on day by day, it's amazing how much you can accumulate and what you've done when you look backwards, which people don't tend to look backwards too much. They tend to keep thinking about what they got to do next. And that may stop them from moving forward if it feels too much. You know what I mean?
Well, see, and then I have a concept. It's so funny. I have something. Well, how do I want to name this? Let me just say this. I used to always, when I'm preaching, used to always, or teaching, say, it's something about that windshield versus the rear view mirror.
Right.
And why is that? Rear view mirror is in there. So you said people don't want to look backwards. I think
they
can look backwards in life, but not so much. You know, we don't want, the windshield has so many opportunities, so many advanced opportunities that we could take advantage of. That's why the windshield in the car is so huge. You can see in front of you. You can see on the side of you. You can see around a little bit.
Yeah, up and down.
But if you focus on that rear view mirror too long in looking backwards, then I believe that that's where people get stuck, and then they get scared of the what's next or the next experience or the opportunity, and they won't jump. And so, but I think you're right. I think there's nothing wrong, because if we have a rear view mirror, it keeps us from clashing. It keeps us from driving in on oncoming traffic. It lets us see what's behind us, you know, versus what's in front of us. But I think there's so much opportunity out there. And I've learned in my life, and I'm not saying I haven't had challenges. I'm not saying I haven't had things come up surprisingly. You know, you just deal with life. But
life is life,
right? I look forward. Right. Life is life. And life is full of promises, but promises doesn't mean it's void of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, even when your money is funny and your change is strange, you still move. You keep moving.
You have to keep
moving,
right?
You keep moving to you. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this thing, coaching.
Coaching is so about forward focus. It doesn't mean, and just to use your analogy, you don't look back at the windshield. I mean, you may need to look back just to clear. You know, sometimes when I work with people, it's just clearing so that they can continue to move forward again, because coaching is very solution focused, forward moving. And it really is for people who want to move forward, that, you know, see something they want to achieve, something they want to work through, something they want to gain, develop, accomplish, and they really need somebody to partner to, you know, hang out with them, so to speak, until they get there, you know. And I think it's really important. I do think sometimes for some of us who are very, you know, type A and moving forward, accomplishment oriented.
yes.
You know, there's a lot of us in the world, right? And,
right.
You know, really dynamic, passionate people we are. But sometimes what I find is sometimes you can get so focused on the accomplishing and the doing that you're not giving yourself credit for how far you've come. And I think that is a positive looking back for me personally, or for the people.
Absolutely.
That I'm, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to pause enough to look back at the things you have accomplished, pat yourself on the back, so to speak, so that it fills you up to go do more. Because sometimes people will get stuck moving forward because it gets to be, you know, sometimes I call it too, a little too much for them, just a little too. And then, you know, it's like regroup, look how far you've come, and let's take that breath and keep moving. Because I do believe life is about moving forward, staying stuck. Anytime I have ever felt stuck in my life, it's not been what I would call a positive little twist or cycle. You know, Yeah, we always want to be able to push through to the joy and the movement on the other side. You know, I want to ask you a little bit about Victoria. I know, like, one of your heart's passions is it's developing people and also developing leaders. And I know that that's a big part of your coaching paradigm and practice. So tell us a little bit about what that means to you and what you do in terms of leadership development.
Well, I think I touched on it earlier. Leadership development means so many things for me. And it's just not this whole corporate way of thinking about leaders. Like I said, I believe with all my heart, all my soul, that everyone is called to be a leader. And leadership is about basically influence. And we all have the ability, whether you're aunt, mother, father, grandmother, business owner, you know, cousin, doesn't matter. We all have the ability to influence someone in our life. And some of us just lead different. There are different leadership styles. There are different ways in which people lead. And, you know, what you say, me being a pastor and everything, of course, I got to bring that up. But even in the book of Genesis, in the early book of Genesis and antiquity, it says in Genesis 1, around 26, 27, that God has given everyone the ability to lead and lead with dominion, not over each other, but everything that God has put into the earth. You know, and so I believe that all of us have this ability to lead, and lead in ways in which we lead, not mimicking someone else. There are a lot
so
of people
individually,
who say, right? There are a lot of people who say, "I just like to be behind the scenes." Well, you're still leading, even if it's behind the scenes. Not everybody is called to the top. Some people are called to be, and those are, believe it or not, those are the makers and shakers of this earth, are people who are leading from the bottom, because they have,
or maybe insight. The back, right? From the back, or, you know,
or the back, or from the back. Those people who say, "I do behind the scenes," those are the people who make the people at the top, who make me. As a pastor, it is my people in my church and leadership right now who make me look good. I cannot do it without the people on the bottom. I cannot do it. Well, God may have called me to be the head, but I cannot do it without the feet. I cannot do it without the knees, the arms, and the legs. We all play a role in this together. Leadership is very communal, but a lot of times people don't see it. They go in silos, and I don't believe I get people to push towards a team-oriented way of thinking, even on an individual basis, right? Even in living in our personal life, we still need the other to be fully who we are.
Once I think that's perfectly said. Yeah, perfectly said.
Right. Once we embrace who we fully are, we cannot just simply exist. In order to live means that you have to embrace otherness in order to get the full picture of what the divine has for you on your journey. And my business is called Essentials Unleashed, EU, Essentials Unleashed. Matter of fact, right now we are regrouping and reconstructing and reinventing and finding new ways in which that we are being led to operate in this right now and in this season. So it's Essentials Unleashed. And our tagline is live with purpose and lead with passion.
Which is fabulous.
We can't lead with passion if we're not living with purpose, right? We can live on purpose, but if we're not living with a purpose in mind, and a lot of times people are like, well, I don't know what my purpose is.
Right, right.
So I get to help them get that, go in that direction. Forward solution. I love what you just said earlier, forward solution. I get to help them, you know, create their forward solution, not my own, to live so that they can lead with passion. And that's, again, it doesn't mean lead as a manager. It doesn't mean lead as a corporate boss. It doesn't mean lead a group of folks alone. It just means lead in this life, lead with your own life forward so that you can connect with others on purpose.
I love what I hear you saying. I just like, I could close my eyes and I could listen to you talk for a long, long, long time, which is a gift that you have that I'm hearing and really enjoying. I'm just like, wow, I'm in the zone with you. You know what I mean? It's fabulous.
Right.
And I'm sure our listeners will love it too. But I really get what you're saying on a deeper level in that each and every person, if they live with purpose in their own life, find that purpose, and the purpose can change from year to year, week to week, you know, that multiple purposes, then they're going to be able to lead with passion. And every unique individual is going to lead and impact somebody, some group, something. And so each of
us,
what you believe is individually, we are all leaders because we're going to affect, impact, people around us, people in our group, people, you know, everywhere we go.
Everything that evolves around us, we're going to impact. And my mantra around that, you mentioned something about change. In my mantra is that change people change others.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Yes.
Change people change others. That's the impact that we have individually and collectively to live with purpose and lead with passion.
And why do you think that is? I mean, what is it about people who change that will help change others?
Because I think for people who get it, and when I say change people, I mean when the light bulb goes off. When the light bulb goes off, people start living. They start living with a purpose in mind. And when we live with a purpose in mind, then we can move in life and lead with a passion that will ignite someone else.
Right.
So
right.
Therefore, a changed person, a changed mindset will help change another person's mindset. That's why I say we cannot exist in life by ourselves. We cannot exist in this bubble by ourselves.
Right.
We
right.
can operate in a silo to get forward. But once you want to move forward, forward mobility includes others. You can't plant a seed and feed a forest without planting the seed first.
Right. Exactly.
And
I love your analogy.
The forest includes everything. Yes.
I love the analogy of what you mentioned earlier, the bubble versus the galaxy. It's really great.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's much more vast than the bubble, you know? And I do agree that, you know, people who have had a monumental change or experience, aha moment, light bulb goes on. I think because of they ignite others because of the passion. You know, it's like
right.
when you know, and that can happen over and over in your life if you open up to it. And I think it's pretty contagious. And that's
Absolutely.
What draws, you know, the like you talked about, I've always lived in the light. The light can mean different things to different people on a physical or spiritual basis. But when you live in the light, it's a way more positive place to be, would you say?
Absolutely. Living in it, see, when we live in the dark, and even if you're the only light in the dark, you are impacting change. You are impacting darkness, right? And so when you're stuck, but if you're dark, living in dark, you stay stuck.
Right.
And you're not moving forward. But when the light goes off, when the light goes off in one's life, whether it's at 12, whether it's at 21, whether it's at 30, the light continues to go off. My light just don't go off one time.
Right, right.
When there's a shift about to take place in my life, I can almost feel it. The divine is already preparing us for the shift. We just don't like some of what is going to take part in that shift. Because in a shift, chaos, things change. You know, things get turned upside down. You know, in the storm, you know, trees are blowing. But if you can remain resilient as the palm tree is the most resilient tree in the country. Every other tree will break, but the palm tree, and when the light goes off in my life, I see myself as a palm tree, and I remain resilient until the change comes, whatever that change is. In order for me to affect change, I first have to change. That's why I say change people, change others.
Right.
And so
the
palm tree
bends,
being the most
it bends
the
with.
The palm tree bends, right? But it doesn't break.
There you go.
So
lots of those, you know, in California, those palm trees. We got them all over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can bend, but you won't break. And I used to remember I have I used to preach, bent but not broken. And so life will come, but when you're resilient as a palm tree, see an oak tree, you know, an oak tree is huge and large bark, and it looks threatening and it looks bold and it looks bodacious. But the first sign of a tumultuous storm, it will pop in half. It will split. You know, a pine tree will split. No matter how tall it grows, no matter how tall it, 6 feet, 12 feet, 20 feet, it will crack and it will break. But the resilience in a palm tree is not found in its root. It's found in the pond. It's found, the resiliency is found in the living individual. And I believe we are all palms. That's why I like this coaching. I like to let people know you are a palm full of resiliency. You just got to find that resilience.
Right. Find you. Right. Exactly. We all have it. It's just tapping into it.
We all have it, Cindy. And if we can get people back to one word, believing in their ability to get to it, that resilience.
Right.
We don't
believe
like we used to believe. We don't believe in our dreams anymore. We don't believe in the value of life. And all that's around it because we focus so much on those places that are dark
on the negative.
Well,
and even like the, you know, changing your mindset sometimes, you know, like, you know, all the things that you have to do to get to the next, you know what I mean? Like that pushing forward.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe you're living in the passion and the positive and the accomplishment and you're, you know, looking forward, but sometimes the load gets a little heavy, you know what I mean? That the amount of stuff that you got to do to push through, and that's where the stick-to-itiveness and you know, staying resilient when things hit, because you know the best plans in the world, and you know, something happens, you know, life happens along
it's
the way.
It's going to happen.
You have to shift
gonna
gears.
It's going to happen,
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you just said it. Shifting gears. I'm trying to work on a piece around this whole. You know, life happens, but life also brings about this sense of dualism. And for many of us, it's always this either or rather than a both and.
Right, right.
And so that's why I believe that this palm tree, the palm tree is so resilient out of any other tree, because it's operating in the midst of the storm, the both and, right?
Right, right.
The tumultuous storm that's turning life upside down, but yet I'm going to remain resilient to see my way through it. It's this dualism. And I think if we just started connecting more things rather than seeing things as opposite
separate,
or, you know what I'm saying? That it's all working together for our good. Yeah,
it's not
working together for our good.
it's not so black and white, that you can have, you know, life hit you, obstacles happen in the middle of your dream, right? Living your dream or pushing something forward. But sometimes things happen for a reason. It doesn't mean it has to stop. You can continue moving forward despite the obstacles. And I get what you're saying. It resonates with me, that dualism, that it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be both, and you can work through it.
It can be both. It can be. But just being resilient to get through it, I think, is where I believe a lot of people I talk to, some of my clients, some of my members of the church, is that resiliency. People are hungry for that resiliency. And that's where coaching just comes alive for me, to get people. I just love your forward solution. Of course, I'm a stealer from you. I'm just letting you know that.
Of course. Well, it's just, we learn from each other. You know, it's really about being forward focused. It really is solution focused. But I think the people that we coach and that we draw to us to support and help, they're ready. They're so ready. I don't know how you feel about it,
right.
But they are so hungry for somebody who's going to encourage them, support them, walk with them as they make it happen and move it forward.
And that's why I love coaching so much. Even as a pastor or someone who's been a spiritual coach for a long time, I'm even doing that differently. I love this whole notion around, rather than, you know, cognitively telling people what to do or what they should do or what, you know, God expects or what the Spirit expects, it's like moving them to where they want to be, right?
All of a sudden, they show up, right?
Yes. And you know that saying, when the student shows up, the teacher will reveal his or herself.
Yeah, but it's interesting how much more somebody shows up when it's really about them and what they want versus you
and what they
telling
want.
Them what
and
you
that
think
it's okay.
And what they need,
right.
What, you know,
right.
Because,
right.
You know, that's pretty easy to do. We all do it, you know, in all, you know, different walks of our life, you know, as a friend, as a parent, as a mate, as a mentor, as a counselor, as a coach, as a minister. I mean, that's a pretty normal role to be in, is to just start talking and telling people, you know, what you think and what they could and should and blah, blah, blah. But when you really show up as a coach, you're showing up to support what they want, what they see, what they
Absolutely.
Think, what
to
they,
push them
it's completely
to their
different.
Dream. Right.
And if they show up, I don't know how you feel about it, but they show up so on, I guess if it was it's just like the on button, it goes on, it's just like somebody pushed the button and they just light up and they're so charged with energy because it's finally somebody being there to support their dreams, their goals, what they want, what they think, what they need. You know, it's just, you can really see them light up and turn on. You know,
Absolutely.
It's the difference between if you were coaching, say you're in a coaching session and then you start in, maybe, you know, you flip back to the talking or advising thing again. You can almost feel people energetically start shifting down. You know what I mean? It's very
Absolutely.
Interesting. It's very interesting.
Absolutely. And one thing about coaching, you help people start again. You know, this whole notion, there are two groups I mainly deal with. I deal with all groups. But the whole millennials, they love talking to me, and I love talking to keep me young. But the millennial group, and then there's this group, this over 40-ish, particularly over 50-ish group that been doing this for 30 years, and they just know, they just feel like doing something different. They just feeling something in their bosom and in their spirit,
right,
in their
right.
mind. They just know there's change.
Time
and
for a
I
change.
I love it.
Time
when
for a change.
I love it when I get that. Because I think something you said to me a long time ago, or not too long ago, Cindy, you said something that it has ignited in my spirit, and I use it a lot. And you said with coaching, and even when you're coaching others, is more of a collaboration and not a competition.
Oh, for sure.
And
it's
so
way,
many fields is so competitive. But with this whole coaching thing, it's about real, true coaching. I'm not talking about those pseudo coaches. I'm talking about true coaching. True coaches become lead servants in my mind. You're leading,
of course.
You're serving someone to get to their what's next. And you're helping the next person get to their what's next while they're living in there right now. And that is so key and so prevalent to me. And that's how I've been able to enjoy in each journey of my life and each call to my life. I've been able to enjoy that for that reason, helping the next person. What's in it for me. I don't look for that.
Yeah, it's really heartfelt. Moves. It's mm-hmm. so, I mean, I yeah. hear you, and I know you, and I know how deeply you feel about it, and you articulate so well what so many of us as coaches feel. I mean, it's just so right on. I mean, it's like the heartfelt work that we do is so fulfilling to be able to just support and be there with somebody. And, you know, it's hard to put it into words sometimes. And I believe unless you do it and understand it, and one of the reasons that Bruce Cameron and I, you know, decided to do this show is not just because we're both passionate about the profession, because we truly are and love it. It's that we just really felt like a lot of people didn't understand it. And if more people understood it, especially what it is and what it isn't. You touched earlier in this show about when people might need to be in your ministry work, might need to be referred out for therapy. And, you know, it's important to us that people really understand what the coaching profession is and what it isn't, and what it can actually do for people. That, you know, people listening may, you know, be scratching their head, not really understand why you are so fabulously passionate about it. You know, that it's a modality yes. that can really support people in a big, huge way and get movement forward so quickly. And of course, you've seen it. I've seen it. It's almost like too good to be true, but it is. And I just think it's a paradigm shift in the world that we need right now. And it's, you know, it's a term that's been used for a very long time, as you know. Most of us think of coaching as, well, obviously the I think it's sports, right? You know, comes to my mm-hmm. mind, you know, first. And there's probably a lot of parallels there, except I don't know how many coaches scream and holler from the sidelines, but I don't, you know, I guess that might be one way of reaching people. But I see it as a lot different than that, a lot softer, a lot more passion, a lot more excitement, and just being with somebody. That's what I always think about, is just you just show up and you just are with them and it goes where it goes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's why I enjoy so much my relationship with you. In this whole coaching piece, because you have helped me even see, even in the midst of my pastoring, the importance of coaching people spiritually, right? And that has played out in what I've been and how I really speak into individual lives and collectively as a pastor when I'm from the pulpit. And so I just, I'm so excited about that. I'm excited about what the Divine is doing in Essentials Unleashed, as well as helping people to live with purpose and lead with passion.
It's fabulous. I love what you said, and I have found this and with people I work with and students, that whatever they're doing professionally, and you are a very accomplished woman, that the coaching skill set at layering those skills in makes you better at everything you do.
Absolutely.
It's interesting how that works, right? It opens up a whole, it's almost like it opens up this whole other dimension of looking at something, understanding something, being with somebody, listening, asking questions. It's quite different than anything I've ever heard or experienced. It's very rare, I don't know about you, but professionally in my life, to be totally surprised by something. You know what I'm saying?
When you absolutely. Say,
you know, so surprised by something that you go, wow, I haven't heard this before. I haven't learned this before. I haven't seen this before. This is going to catch my interest. And I think coaching has that dimension to it that is very intriguing. It's like, wow, this is something really unusual that really can work with people. And it's like an enhanced skill set. That's the way I look at it. So
it is an enhanced skill set. And I agree with you, because even in counseling, and if there are any therapists that are listening, they can attest to what I'm talking about. Even in counseling, okay, we have all this cognitive counseling, and then came along, you know, this narrative therapy way of counseling, right? And that's how I almost see coaching. Narrative therapy allows people to tell their story rather than we show them a story or give them what we believe to be happening. It allows the person to be the therapist in the moment. And I believe that's what coaching does to some degree, even though we're not therapists, because I'm not a therapist.
I'm not a therapist.
I stay in my lane.
Lots of therapists become coaches. Lots of great therapists and psychologists do become coaches and fabulous ones. I'm not a therapist, and I know you're not. And we do
absolutely
know the difference.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a pastor, and, you know, but there's still uniquely a difference, because even with pastoring, there are still people, even with the great therapists that are out there, there is still a part of us that we cannot help. We cannot help at times. That's why I love the fact when I get to just, you know, separate the two. And I've learned to do that. But I've also learned to embrace all that I am in my coaching. It sounds like an oxymoron, but I'm telling you, it's the both and thing. But I, you know, we know great therapists. We know great pastors. We know great people who have been doing this work, or consultants.
Correct.
But this whole notion of just coaching and getting people to move forward and getting people to letting people know it is okay to dream big and live into that dream. It's okay if you've been an attorney or a doctor for 50 years and at the age of 60, it's okay if you decide that you want to do something totally different. You want to bake some cupcakes. It's okay.
And
I love how we get to help people move through that without worrying about ageism or, you know, all these isms that may interfere with their thought process, that I can't do this because I'm 60, because I'm 70.
Or because of this, or because of that, or
because I'm black,
because
right.
The
and I love it.
Back.
I love how, and I've learned in coaching how forward mobility is so prevalent in people's lives. And like you said it earlier, people are hungry.
They move quickly.
So people hungry for it.
Oh, they're very much ready for it. And I really do want to end with what you had said that which really struck me today, is that that ability to learn to answer many calls, that it doesn't have to be one path. It can be multiple paths in life and, you know, twists and turns along the way, and that it's okay to answer many calls. So I'm going to remember you said that, Victoria, and I'm going to I'm going to thank you so much for being
thank
on today.
You.
I absolutely loved having you and listening to you. You're just wonderful to hear. You have so many really good messages to share. And I want you to let people know in our audience how you might be reached. Could you share that with us?
Yes. Like I said, right now we're working on all of our social media aspects of Essentials Unleashed. So we will put that out later as much as we possibly can. But people can call me, Victoria L. Burson. Victoria, just say, hey, may I speak to Victoria? And you
Victoria.
Reach me at 410-513-9098. I'll repeat that, 410-513-9098. If you're ready to live with purpose and lead with passion, I am the one for you. Cindy, listen, I enjoyed you. I love you. I love
thank
you so
you,
much,
Victoria.
Because you have such passion for this work, and I thank you for partnering with me in life.
Thank you so much, Victoria. Have a fabulous day. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was just a wonderful, wonderful show today. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. And I want to wish you all a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. Goodbye from the Concierge Coaches Show. I can be reached at 714-943-6206. wisdomfoods.com, and have another wonderful Tuesday. Talk to you all next week.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.